All right, if you would open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Like I said, I'd be glad at the end of the service if there'd be any that have questions. I'd be glad to. Let me give a quick disclaimer before I hope to say some more about it in the message, but I sometimes get sidetracked. Last 15 years, been in 30-something states, 60 or close to 70 different campuses. Without fail, every campus I've been to, found a good core group of young men and women that have a good testimony of salvation, that love God and are trying to live for God and serve God. I've had students literally in the middle of the campus, in front of everybody, kneel down around me and pray for me. And we had a student one time come up just in tears when she seen us out there preaching. She said she was praying that God would send somebody to minister to her friends and classmates. So we don't want to give the wrong impression that everybody out there is lost. We don't hear these things on CNN News. They don't tell us that Jesus is building His church like He said He was going to do. And so a huge part of our ministry, a huge part, and it's a whole division of it. I'll maybe say some more about it when we get into the message, but we're trying to encourage the saints that are there and if there's a group of people on the face of this earth that needs the New Testament church, it'd be a college student. It needs the church, preacher said it this morning, you know, when he was on campus there. I mean, need that church to be there for them, to be an encouragement to them and be that shepherd and to see them keep their hearts right with God and be that salt and that light and live it among their peers. And so I wanted to give that disclaimer because certainly there is a good core group of believers that are out there, and that's another avenue of our ministry is to shepherd the students, and we put together that network on the website. We've got a booklet here that pastors send out to the churches in the state, and introducing the campus work they have in their state and in their campus there, and saying, you know, if you're going to send your students here, would you consider them coming to be a part of our group, not trying to steal other church members? I think sometimes we as independent Baptists get a little too independent. We need to be concerned about shepherding the souls, and certainly that's an important part of our ministry is to be that shepherd. Jesus had compassion when He looked on the multitudes because He saw them as sheep scattered about without a shepherd. That's why He was moved with compassion, because He didn't have a shepherd there. And I see that often, hear a lot of testimonies and of students that had a heart to serve God, but they got away from the local church, got away from the accountability of the family, I don't want to know where I'd wind up tonight if it wasn't for the church. And so that's certainly an important part of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I appreciate Pastor allowing us this opportunity tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, appreciate the good word we heard this morning. Verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we'll start reading in verse 8. Apostle Paul said, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Lord Jesus, we bow this evening as sincere and humble and as we know how, thanking You for the precious blood of Jesus, thanking You for the sweet, sweet, thrice Holy Spirit, thanking You for the Word of God that we've anchored our souls and our lives in. We come now, Lord, for this few minutes to be able to be that messenger, that voice that You would work through our lips tonight, through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that You would take and encourage this faithful group of saints here tonight and this pastor, Lord. And we thank You for the work Lord, that there is a light in this place. And God, we just praise You for what You're doing here and what You're going to do. Lord, I just pray You'd help us tonight as we all seek to labor together and look to You for increase, that You would use each one of us to fulfill to our fullest our individual talents and our gifts and our callings. And Lord, that we might be that salt and that light that You've declared that we are to be until You come for us. Accomplish all You desire in these next few minutes. God, we trust in the Holy Spirit to do an illuminating work that man can't do. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. That's our prayer. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to preach tonight on the God-ordained mission field. Paul here speaks of it in the text. He says that he's going to tarry at Ephesus because he says, a great door. It wasn't just the something average. Paul said there's something great about this door. Paul, all through his ministry, as you studied Paul, he was always praying, even when he's in prison. Even when he's in prison, he was praying for a door of utterance. He talked about just some kind of opportunity to speak the Word of God and to be that voice we heard preached about this morning. But he explains to him here that he wants to come and visit, but he's going to tarry at Ephesus because there's a great door and effectual. And then, thank God, the most important part about this, he said, it is opened unto me. There's an opportunity there. And he said, and there are many adversaries. I want to look real quick just for time, and then we'll try to get into our thought. But if you'll turn with me real quick to Acts chapter 19, I want to look at this great door contextually that Paul speaks of. In Acts chapter 19, he said, I'll tarry here in Ephesus. And so I want to look at the no problem. Many times we take the scriptures and make spiritual applications, and certainly Christ done that as well, and that's certainly what the Bible is for. But I want to look even contextually tonight at this door Paul speaks of in our verse here in Acts chapter 19. And for time, we won't go back through it, but in chapter 18, Paul came just through Ephesus very briefly. He met Aquila and Priscilla, and then he left them in Ephesus, and then he went on. And now in Acts chapter 19, in verse 1, we find, I believe, what Paul is speaking of in 1 Corinthians, when he came and actually spent a space of time ministering in Ephesus. Let's look at it here in Acts chapter 19, real quick, in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Let's just drop down to get the text for time. And it says in verse 8, Acts 19, now he's in Ephesus. We're looking at this door he's speaking of. It says, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Notice here, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Would you agree tonight that Paul, when he speaks of this great door that he had in Ephesus, it contextually was speaking of this ministry he had for the space of 2 years on this school of Tyrannus. As it says in the text, he was in the synagogue for 3 months, and they didn't like his preaching, so they asked him to politely leave. And so Paul found a place to preach. And as we've studied the commentaries, this school of Tyrannus was some type of a higher learning facility, some type of a finishing school, very comparative today to what we have in our secular university campuses. And Paul said he spent the next 2 years daily on that campus ministering the gospel. And the Bible says that through that, all of Asia Minor heard the Word of God. And so I want to say to you tonight that this great door that Paul spoke of, that we often use as our missions verse there in 1 Corinthians, is today literally the academic community assembled. That great door. I want to look at this great door real quick. We want to look at the great door. We want to look at the, as Paul said, it's effectual. And then we want to look real quick at the many adversaries. Turn, if you would, just a few pages back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, making the application of the great door that God has made open to us in our secular university campuses. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Pastor preached about it this morning. Now just bear with me for a few minutes because we're going to use a few familiar verses. But don't let that cause us to lose what God has for us tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, very familiar verse. The Lord Jesus explained to his disciples just before his ascension back to heaven. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, notice, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now here stood the 11 remaining disciples. Jesus gave them a commission to carry the gospel literally into all the world. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't have internet. And there they stood. Literally, the Bible says, as he departed then, gazing, I'm certainly thinking within themselves, how can we carry out this commission, which is literally humanly impossible? Can I get a witness? Impossible for 11 men to carry the gospel in all the world. Impossible, humanly speaking. Of course, Christ explained to them to tarry in the upper room till the Spirit came. Now, just for time, we look at this great door. Look on down Acts chapter 2. Now, you're very familiar with it. The Spirit of God came, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And of course, they began to speak in the other tongues, languages of the people that were there. And verse 5, now I want to get you into looking at this great door. As they began to speak and to preach, now I believe we'd all be in agreement tonight. This text here, no argument. We're looking here. Jesus has just ascended back to heaven. The disciples tarry in the upper room. The Spirit comes, and now they begin to carry out what he's commissioned them to do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, propagating the gospel into all the world. This, putting their finger on it, verse 5, is how this began. Let me say this before we get into it, we won't miss it. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said, I am that I am, and I change not. Okay? If God has ordained a means for the local New Testament church to carry the gospel into all the world, hands on. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight. I'm not getting in between gifts and callings, gifts and callings that God places and sends men in foreign missions. And I thank God, and I'm very much a part of and a product of foreign missions and home missions, and we heard it preached this morning, it ought to just be missions everywhere. Ought to be getting the gospel out. But I'm talking about tonight a local New Testament church, hands-on, being able to carry out what God called them to do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Literally, hands-on, how can you and I get the gospel into all the world individually? Well, these men begin to do it here. Let's see it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 5. Here's the great door. And the Bible says, and there were dwelling, okay? You understand tonight, just a few miles from here on our university campus, they're not just spending the night. They didn't just come here to stay overnight. They're not coming here to homestead. Statistically, the students from all over the world, all over the state of New Mexico, all over the United States, come to the University of New Mexico, and they're dwelling here from a space of anywhere from 6 months to average 6 years. They're dwelling in this town. Notice here, dwelling where? At Jerusalem. All through the Scripture, Jerusalem is often referred to as our local area. But can I give you something that really blessed my heart? When Josiah found the book and they took it to Hildekiah the prophetess, the Bible says she was in Jerusalem at the college. Only time in the Bible the word college is mentioned was in conjunction with Jerusalem. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Y'all smile at me tonight, okay? Everybody understanding me? My wife interpreted me. They say I speak the real English. I don't know what that means. So, Jerusalem. Now, look here in verse 5. There were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men. Devout men. We had it on the screen. If you caught it as it came through, the American federal government says, this is mind-boggling to me, the American federal government says that 75% of this world's leaders tonight walked university campuses of America and trained here. And they estimate that 25% of what will be future world leaders are walking the campuses tonight. That's just mind-boggling to me to think about that opportunity. I stood at Duke University many years ago, probably 10 years ago, I stood at Duke University. I won't ever forget it. I got to sit down at the picnic table there on the campus and got in it talking to this young man. He was from Iran. And I don't know what he's doing. Well, I found out before it was over with, but how Duke University, where he wound up being. And I got to sit down, answer. He was of the Islam faith, pretty weak, really didn't believe much of anything, didn't seem like. Got to sit down, take the Bible, answer some questions he had, give him a clear presentation of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, plant that seed. He didn't make profession that day, but God was stirring in his heart. And when the conversation was over, I asked him, I said, curiosity, I said, what's a man doing from Iran? What are you doing here at Duke University? He said, I'm studying political public relations. Now think tonight, I'm talking 10, 12 years ago. Think about tonight, Iran, a man that's possibly in leadership, political public relations. This may be the very man that negotiates whether or not they're going to nuke Israel one day. And I was able to sit down with this man and in detail go through the gospel and share the scriptures with him. Devout men, China, one point, last I heard, 4, 5, 6 billion people? You don't wind up over here by coincidence. They got plans. I heard that they got a man in China they're grooming eventually take power. He trained in the universities of America. And his daughter, they say, is training tonight on the campus. The man that was in Egypt several years ago, he's been ousted now, he trained in the university in California. Devout future world leaders, okay, a great door. A great door. Notice reverse, Acts 2, just reading line on line, verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. The multitude came together. I'm sorry, I missed it. Help me that. Back up verse 5. There were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Okay, every nation. We spoke of it already. But the largest, here's the mind-boggling thing, that the largest percentage of foreign students that are on American soil tonight are China, India, and the Middle Eastern Islamic nations. Well, if you know very much about foreign missions, that are the three major people groups, population of the world, and are the least evangelized people groups in the world, and the hardest ones to actually have an opportunity to go and be a foreign missionary to, and God's brought them to our backyard. I've stood, for many years there at the University of Alabama before I began to travel, stood basically in a small area there and literally witnessed, just off my head, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, China, Africa, Russia, many times over. One time I had 10 or 12 Saudi Arabian Muslims around me. I got talking to one of them, some more came out. The next thing I had 10 or 12 basically just preaching. Just a good conversation. All of God's, in the last 4 years, our ministry kept records, and someone in the group, some of the church families or ministers or missionaries, and we kept records in the last 4 years, we've literally one-on-one, we'll never know this side of heaven, who all got a gospel track as they came through, but has sat down and went through the gospel, and sometimes many times over, with over 70 different nationalities on our secular campuses in our backyards, all over America. Hadn't bought a plane ticket. Hadn't had to get a visa. God brought them and placed them in our sphere of influence. We heard it preached this morning. Out of every nation. Let's look on there. Verse 6. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Multitude. We seen on the screen there, the average state campus has anywhere from 25 to 30,000 students. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be out at Tempe, Arizona. That's the largest, over 70,000 students. Be a little bit over twice the enrollment of the University of Minnesota. 70, this past fall, we was up at University of Minnesota, 64,000 students. I tell people, y'all have ant beds out here? Okay. He said they didn't have kudzu. We have kudzu in Alabama, if any of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's something the terrorists planted years ago. That's old weed. But anyhow, ant. I tell people, if you ever been out on the out in the field there, and you stuck a stick in that ant bed, and it just started turning black with ants coming to the top, y'all know what I'm talking about? When the bell rings, when the class bell rings, the sidewalks look about like that was, but it ain't ants. It's not ants. It's never dying souls. I have to warn people. I said Jesus, that blind man, he He healed him, and he said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men walking as trees." And Jesus touched him again. He said, "What do you see now?" He said, "I see every man clearly." We got to get back to seeing every man clearly. It's never dying souls. Preacher, this morning, God came from heaven to seek and to save. And God's put them in our path, never dying souls from all over the world. Multitudes. Where else on earth can you step out of your car onto a property of land and have at your fingertips or your access 25 to 30,000 souls and an open door to witness to them from all over the world? Where else can New Heights Baptist Church do that? That's where I'm at, ain't it? Y'all looking at me like, maybe I didn't say it right. Where else can you do that? I'm not trying. I know sometimes missionaries are guilty of trying to take a field and get some scripture to match it. I'm preaching just straight out of the book. God ordained. God ordained. Let's look on. The multitude came together. And I love this. It just kind of stamps the approval on all of it. Verse 6. And the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard him speak in his own language. You understand tonight? The first thing these foreign students have to do is pass a test of a certain degree of English literacy. If they're going to stay here any length of time, any level in the high school, they have to get tutors and No Child Left Behind Act. But on the secular campus, my understanding is, primarily, they're going to be here any length of time, any level of education. The first thing they have to do is go through English classes and courses. So you can stand right there in that spot in the English language and give the gospel to the entire world. Now, I keep a little bag in my satchel bag of different languages because I like to, if I find out they're from a different nationality, I still like to give it to them in their language. Believing they might understand it better. But what's the greatest obstacle in foreign missions is language. That's the greatest obstacle always has been is the language barrier. Well, God's ordained it that we can step out on these campuses all over America and give the gospel. Let me just hurry here. Not only is it a great door, I pray you see that tonight. Paul said it's effectual. It's effectual. We got to get back as Bible-believing Christians, and we heard it. I thank God for the message. I told preacher I needed that this morning. I needed that encouragement. We need that encouragement. We got to get back tonight to a renewed confidence in the Word of God. It's effectual. It's going to accomplish something. The presence of truth always accomplishes something. You can't confront somebody with truth without something happening. You understand that? Every time you turn a light on, it's going to do something. It's going to bear witness with light that is there, or it's going to either reveal darkness. Every time. God said, it's going to accomplish what I send it to accomplish. It's very effectual. Well, we've had testimonies. Just real quick, there's a young man at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. The students, the Christian group there, they took a summer youth trip to China. It was on the university campus there in China. And the testimony was, young man gave a tract to this Chinese student. And his testimony was, he kind of just dismissed it, never didn't believe, never had heard the gospel. He took the tract, but just kind of dismissed it, disregarded it. So the student group comes back to North Carolina, and then in the fall, they had an internship where some of the students actually went over to the university in China and stayed for a semester and began to also minister. And this Chinese student, I heard it in my own ears, I was there when he came and gave his testimony, he said that after that happened, another student came later, actually lived in his dorm, began to witness to him. He said, well, there was a guy came in the summer that gave me a track. I read it, but I didn't ever, really act on it. Never. Long story short, the young man got saved from China. He was at Chapel Hill University speaking when I was there. And his testimony was, he's been saved. His wife has been saved. Three children saved. He's planted now years down the road, I think 12 years later, three underground churches in China. But here was the admonition. That first young man that went over in the summer that gave him the tract, the first seed that was planted, nobody knows who he is. He didn't get his name. He went back home and another group went over and this guy, but this testimony, somebody gave him a tract. It'll be heaven. Somebody has fruit to their account of a pastor now that was won to Christ, and it all started when he introduced the gospel to him, And now he's planted three underground churches in no telling how many hundreds of souls, maybe thousands of souls, before it's over said and done, going to be in heaven one day. And he'll get to heaven before ever even knows about it. It's effectual. It's effectual. We're not, John said, I was not the light. I just sent bear witness of the light. It's effectual. It always brings fruit. And Satan knows how effectual it is. I ain't got time to go there. Daniel, the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar took the king's seed, the children of Israel, brought them into his slavery. He told his eunuch, take the ones that was well-favored and cunning and had ability to stand before kings and understand science, those that had their mind and their strength and their ability, and said, teach them and train them the language of the Chaldeans. It's Satan. Satan has infiltrated our campuses. And he understands, we heard it preached on the screen, he understands these that have their strength, young men and women that are pure at that time, and have their clear minds, and could be used of God in a great and mighty way. And Satan is using that very same door to infiltrate. The Bible says that from a child I've known the Holy Scriptures. And Satan knows how effectual that opportunity is during that time. For many, 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 no doubt someone here can testify. Those years are very vulnerable. They're leaving home 17, 18, 19 years old. Mom and daddy's faith no longer going to do the job. No longer going to be right on mom and daddy's faith. It's a time when they're either getting real about God or they're being taken away and trained the language of the Chaldeans so they can be used in Satan. And let me close out here with he said there, it's a great door. I pray you see that. He said it's effectual. Oh, God, I pray you see that. But he said there, he warns us. He said there are many adversaries. Here's why, preacher, I believe tonight. Here's why that there's less than 3% of fundamental works on secular campuses. Because it's outside the camp. It's outside the camp. But we just seen it on the screen. Ezekiel was told to go to a rebellious house. And he said, say to them, thus saith the Lord. We don't change the message just because the group. They still need the Word of God. And he said, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, yet they gonna know that a prophet was among them. These secular campuses, I told a preacher here a while back, we was talking, I said, preacher, I said, these campuses are, there's a place like no other. Opposition, the system as a whole, the Babylonian conspiracy, literally from Genesis to Revelation, it's a place like none other of an adversity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, well, yes. He said, anywhere the gospel goes out, there's adversity. I said, well, yes, I understand. I said, but there is no other place on earth. There is no other place on earth where there is much adversity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understand Satan has a stronghold in many places, in many cases, but there's nowhere else on earth. Let me give it to you quick. Indoctrination of Satan, philosophy, mocking the Word of God, immorality, co-ed dorms, youthful lust, perverted lifestyles, promoted, applauded. Pagan religions, abortion promoted, pornography, drugs, alcohol, accepted financial debt. Students leaving campus in debt, $40,000, $100,000, $200,000. Pride, idleness of time, abundance of bread, peer pressure, and literally persecution. Late 1800s, the first 88 of 100 university campuses were formed for propagating the gospel, training preachers. Many people don't know that history. First 88 out of 100 campuses in America were formed for propagating the gospel. A poll was done last year that said the most discriminated people group in America tonight is an evangelical Christian sitting in a secular university professor's classroom. Most discriminated people in the world. Now, we've come 180 degrees. And here's what I want to say to you as a close. What we've done, literally, when I say we, the body of Christ, in America at least, we've handed over the political and the academic community. We've handed it over to the worldview uncontestedly. We didn't even put up a fight. We just said it's too big, it's too complicated, it's too far gone. And so we have just handed it over to the worldview uncontested. 15 years ago, said it earlier, 30-year-old man was sitting in a church pew on a Sunday night. Three children, wife, career, three figures. Three figures. Self-employed, three figures. Hobbies, deacon in the church, living the good life. But God sent a man by that night, took me on that campus that Monday. And the Bible says, the eye affects the heart. And I said to Christ, here I am, send me. The reason I'm here tonight is to ask you, what are you going to say? We heard it preached this morning. It wasn't nothing more than just follow up this morning. I appreciate the message. God's got a work to do, but it's now or never. He said, don't say 4 more months, then come the harvest. I love the, you know the story, I'm done, preacher. You know the story when Israel decided they wanted a king. And he explained to Samuel that he was going to send Saul by his way, and he was going to select him as the king for Israel. Saul been out hunting donkeys, his young man hunting donkeys. He lost, his father's donkeys were lost in the wilderness. He was out hunting the donkeys. Y'all still with me? I'm done. Very important right here. Couldn't find them, and he met somebody and said, the seer, which was Samuel, said he'll be able to tell you where they're at if you can find him. So God providentially brought him across Samuel's path. Samuel told Saul, he said, go get rest. We'll meet tomorrow. I know where they're at. We'll take care of it. And here's what he said. He said, as for the donkeys, they're found. Okay? Take the pressure off. Quit worrying about things of this world. I got that covered. And then he asked him a question. He said to Saul, Samuel said to Saul, he said, and unto whom is all the desire of Israel? I just picture Saul's a young man. He's out hunting donkeys. He said, I hadn't thought much about who's going to deliver Israel. I'm just afraid I'm going to get in trouble with Daddy, but I can get back home with the donkeys. And Samuel said, is it not unto thee? God's got us a mission field here. And the gifts and calling of the Lord are without repentance. I wonder tonight if it might be somebody in this room that's too busy hunting donkeys, too caught up in the things of this world. God will take care of your needs. I can testify. God will provide. We need to be laid up treasure in heaven. Who's going to be that salt and that light? God help us tonight. Let's stand our head bowed for prayer. Lord, we love you. I thank you for Pastor, and thank you for this faithful flock, and thank you for your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, tonight that you would work in the hearts of your people to see a field, see a lost and dying world. And Lord, I pray if there be one in this room tonight and never has said, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Lord, I pray tonight would be the night that they would come forward publicly and testify, Lord, here am I, send me. God, I pray if there be one in this room tonight never has made individual preparations to meet the Lord. They're still in bondage to the things of this world and the flesh. They never have seen you high and lifted up. I pray the Holy Spirit do that convicting work tonight. See the goodness of God in their lives and bring them that place of godly sorrow, repentance toward God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you we have the truth. We have the finished work. And I pray you'd give us that burden that you had when you looked on those multitudes. Lord, we're trusting only you to do what you can do and meet the needs this week in Jesus' name. With her heads bowed as she begins to play, and I wonder if there'd be one to come. Maybe just put it on the altar and say, God, here am I, send me. I don't know what God's going to do with it. But you can walk out of here tonight knowing you've surrendered your heart and your life. The Bible says if we keep our life, we're going to lose our life. The terminology we use, we surrendered to the ministry. We surrendered to preach. No. The question was asked, said, how can we call it a sacrifice to serve a heavenly king? We call it a promotion to serve an earthly king. What about it tonight? Ask God to remove those blinders. We get so caught up in the cares of this world and the pride of life and lust of flesh. And all day long, all week long, God's sending souls by our paths. We're going to give an account one day. Every one of us has a sphere of influence. God help us be found faithful.